This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Cedgy today. This past week, we lost a great broadcaster, Rush Limbaugh. That makes two that we've lost in 3 weeks, Larry King and now Rush. We have my friend Rusty Humphries, who's a national talk show host, joining us, who knew Rush, and we'll be talking about the memory of Rush Limbaugh. Later on, Bogey Latine will be here from the All-Girls Garage on Velocity. Author Robert Hutchinson has written a book about Abraham Lincoln. Last weekend was President's Day, so we thought we'd bring him on. Adam Richman will be joining us. Adam is a star of The Food That Built America on the History Channel. From American housewife Dietrich Bader will be joining us. Chris Johnson has a movie called Journey to Royal, a World War II rescue mission that's out right now. And actress Angie Harmon. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Cedgy today. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot for Liberty HealthShare. If you need a healthcare program for 2021, you are in luck. A special enrollment period is taking place right now through May 15th. Liberty HealthShare offers affordable healthcare sharing programs starting as low as $199 per month. Discover more about the power of sharing at libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRuth. I found Liberty HealthShare 6 years ago. It was the best decision I've ever made. It's an alternative to health insurance. It's Christian healthcare sharing from a nonprofit ministry. There are no contracts. There's no network. You choose any doctor or hospital you want. Here's the most important things you need to know. First, credibility. Liberty has over 200,000 members. They paid out over $1.2 billion in claims in the past 4 years. Second, my personal experience. I'm a member. My children are members. Just in premiums alone, I've saved over $100,000 since I joined. To find out more about health sharing options, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRuth. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRuth.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I've had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Cedgy today. Well, we, of course, had some very sad news come to us this past Wednesday with the passing of one of the real legends and giants in the broadcasting business, a man who really kind of saved talk radio for all intents and purposes, and that, of course, was Rush Limbaugh. We have with us a guest that I have known for many, many years. He lived in Orlando for a while. He had been on my show in the past, and I've been on his, and we worked together at one of the networks together for many, many years, who was a personal friend of Rush, and I wanted to call him. He's in Costa Rica right now to talk to him because I didn't want the show to go by without paying tribute to this great broadcaster. Joining us right now is my friend, Rusty Humphries. Hi, Rusty. How are you? Nice to hear your voice again.
You too, buddy. You know, I'm in this beautiful place in Costa Rica. It's 87 degrees. I know the rest of the country is snowed in. My heart is breaking right now. I'm really hitting me hard.
You and I have had an unusual situation. I used to have Larry King on the air, and I know you had asked me a couple of times if I could put him in contact with you, and by that time he was not doing much interviews, and I never met Rush Limbaugh, and you were a friend of his. Tell us about the relationship there, Rusty.
You know, Rush and I worked on the FM in New York, WPLJ, doing the morning show, and Rush did the midday show. He did an hour for just New York, and then 3 hours for the nation. I'm talking about 89, 90-ish.
Right.
At first, everybody thought that I was his son, because when he was a kid, his name was Rusty. So they kind of was teasing us that we were putting him on. And we thought that was pretty funny. Sitting around the studio off the air, and he was doing a Howard Cosell impression. I said, Rush, you need to do more funny stuff like that. Young man, what would I do? I don't know. I just did this song called Bomb Iraq. It was before the first Gulf War. Bomb, 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 bomb Iraq. He said, how would I introduce it? I don't care. Say it's the Rush Limbaugh Singers. I don't know. So he puts it on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rush Limbaugh Singers and Bomb Iraq. And so he plays the song. He gets a great response. So he's all excited, and next he comes in and says, what else can you do? What else can you do? I do stupid Mike Tyson impression. Let me hear it. Okay, McDaniel, let me kick your butt. Come on, McDaniel, come on. So he starts laughing. Go to the other room and call me, call me. Ladies and gentlemen, former heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Hello, Mr. Limbo. I'm very sorry, I'm tardy. Yes, Mike, why were you late?
I was driving down the street and I saw the sign that said clean restrooms ahead. I must have cleaned about 150 of them. So, he starts laughing, waves me over, and hands me $9,100 bills. Whoa. Keep them coming, young man. Keep them coming.
And so I did all of the original comedy songs and bits for Rush for a couple of years. And we remained friends throughout the time, although once he lost his hearing, he really stopped communicating with the outside world. He didn't really do phone calls anymore, things like that. But he was always sweet. He was way sweeter than you would think. He was way quieter in real life than you would think. I asked him one time for a good documentary I did, and he was in it, and I said, so what's the difference between, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the guy, and Rush Limbaugh, you know, on the air? And he said, well, if I walked up to you and said, hello, I'm Rush Limbaugh, but tell us the Lord from God, you'd want me locked up. So I'm not that guy in real life, but I am me on the air. He just was an exaggerated form of himself.
You know, Rusty, I remember those bits so vividly. And, you know, I think back when he first came out in the late 80s, I was just getting out of the ownership of radio stations, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll do a talk show. Because I always thought, initially, when he came on, and I still believe this to this very day, that he was more than just a talk show host, but he was an entertainer. And not because he was entertaining on the air and appreciated the bits that you did for him, but because of the fact, I think, that he could have taken a conservative or a liberal view and be convincing on both of them because he had that much salesmanship in him.
Yeah, I'm sure he could, although I don't know, the liberal maybe not, because I don't know that he could sell something if he didn't believe in it. A lot of things are going through my head right now. He did not have this big ego that everybody thought he had. In real life, he was very self-deprecating and I think had some self-esteem issues, to be honest, and that he just, it bothered him, especially at the beginning when people came after him. He never played that up on the radio. He always made a big deal about it, but it hurt him. Could you think of all the attacks that guy had in his whole life? I didn't know that I could have survived him.
The thing about it is everybody thinks when they see somebody successful that one day they weren't, and the next day, bingo, I'm successful. But I had heard, and you would know better than I, that even when he was working for a radio station that his father was part owner in, he got fired.
He did not do well in broadcasting before he got into talk radio, Sacramento. He had a hard time. Part of it was those insecurities. He always thought he was about to get fired. Self-fulfilling prophecy came true. But he, you know, overcame those things and then became this really sweet guy. I do remember one other thing I remember asking him that really touched me. I said, so when you were a little kid and you dreamed of maybe someday being on the radio, and now you're the biggest star in the history of radio, what different than you thought it would be? And he said, I thought it'd be a lot more fun.
Wow, interesting.
That'd be a lot more fun.
We all know that he had a stint on television because when he first started, his popularity was so immense immediately, and also, you know, all the media's wanting to grab you when they see a new commodity on the line. He didn't like TV, did he?
He didn't. I believe he took over the Pat Sajak show, if I recall.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I know he did something with the Pat Sajak show.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about it.
I was around those days, and the Whoopi show came out at the same time, and it was getting all the attention, and it drove him nuts because nobody was watching the Whoopi show. Nobody could have cared less about the Whoopi show, and here's him doing something different and new and exciting, and all he was getting was flack for it. But you know what? He loved doing what he did. He loved doing those concerts. I don't know if you remember. It was Rush Limbaugh on tour. He did concert tours.
Right.
And the Rush Rooms, a lot of people don't remember. That was a long time ago. But when he first got started, he was so popular that restaurants would pay radio stations in each town to be the official, let's say, KOH Rush Room restaurant. Mm-hmm. And every day at noon, people would go have lunch and listen to the Rush Limbaugh show with other fellow ditto heads. That's how big that show was.
Rusty, I know, as you mentioned earlier, that he didn't want to do a lot of telephone conversations because I'm probably tired of talking like you and I are half the time. You know, you could go home, you just want to relax. But the fact of the matter is that did he ever communicate to you during his illness how he felt? Because I just saw a great clip on television about how he equated his problem and how he announced it to how Lou Gehrig announced the fact that he was leaving and eventually going to die of Lou Gehrig's disease.
The reason he didn't talk so much on the phone was because of the cochlear implant.
Yeah.
And it was very uncomfortable for him to hear because, again, people said that he lost his hearing.
Yeah.
He did his show deaf for a year and nobody knew it. That's how good that guy was.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. I get mad when my earphones don't work, my headsets, you know, it's let alone my hearing.
He was completely deaf for a year.
Yeah.
And did a show.
And no one knew that that was the case. I mean, unless he said it,
no,
you'd have never known.
The only thing at first people were like, well, Rush is talking weird. Something wrong with
right.
him or something.
Right, right.
But yeah, he's deaf. But what Rush's whole thing was he never wanted to make it about himself. He never wanted to, when his mother died, he went home and did the show from his house with his mother for, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 months and didn't tell anybody. That's just that he was very private. Again, very shy. That's, I think, the thing that people really don't have any clue with how shy he really was.
You know, Rusty, listening to you talk and listening to you talk like he does, my goodness gracious, you can see the influence. You sound just like him when you did that.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't want to copy anybody, but he was good.
They always say that if you're going to copy somebody, copy from the best, and in his arena, he was just that. Rusty, I appreciate it. I know you're down in Costa Rica. I look forward to talking with you more often than not. Times like this is when you know who your friends in the broadcasting business is. Rusty's been in talk radio for an awfully long time, and very successfully, too, I might add. And we've been friends for a long time. And when you come back to the States, let's make it a point to get together and break bread. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and reminiscing about one of the giants who you knew personally, Rush Limbaugh. Thank you, Rusty. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Rusty's a good guy. You know,
you're welcome, brother.
Our guest, Rusty Humphrey, a fellow national talk show host, and he was a friend of Rush Limbaugh. And I recall very vividly back in the late 80s when I sold my last radio station and wanted to get back on the air. I didn't want to go back on as a disc jockey, even though I loved it. So it was listening to Rush that said, hey, maybe I'll do a talk show. And 30 years later, that's what I've been doing. Although our show is entirely different than Rush's. It doesn't take any political sides. It's all entertainment. And regardless of your position on politics, you have to admit that Rush did a great job in the format that he chose. We're going to pause for a second. There's a whole show to come yet with Ron Segi today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Tech. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back to Ron Zedgee Today, live all across the USA and around the world. Well, if you've listened to me at all over the years, you know that I'm a car guy. Love cars, collect cars, talk about cars, drive cars, wash cars, just don't repair cars. And we're going to leave that up to our next guest. But I love the show she is part of. She is the host of Velocity's All Girls Garage. I love this concept, and I love the fact that she's in there getting her hands dirty and might be considered, for guys like us, the perfect woman to be with. Joining us right now, Bogie Latiner is here.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I meant what I said. You got to be the apple of a car guy's eyes, really and truly. I mean, because, you know, I tell my wife, wash the car, and she can't even figure it out, let alone repair it. But All Girls Garage, back for the ninth season. That is sensational. First of all, you got to tell us how you got started loving cars and repairing them and being so efficient at it. I mean, you're a real pro.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been a technician professionally for about 20 years now, and I got into it, honestly, kind of accident. I got my first car when I was 16 years old. It was a little Volkswagen Bug. And it was a piece of junk, as most old Volkswagen Bugs were. I didn't like the way that I felt like I was being treated when I brought my car in for repairs, which it needed all the time. And so I decided to start learning about it myself and wound up enrolling in high school auto shop and kind of surprised myself and surprised everybody else in my life that I really enjoyed working with my hands, and it became something I pursue full time.
So now you're in high school, right? And you're starting to get involved with cars, and not, like I said, just washing them or driving them. You're really getting involved in them. And everybody else is taking cooking and sewing and typewriters. Okay. What do the other girls say?
Well, I'm not that old. That wasn't the thing,
oh, it was,
really,
okay.
In my high school back then. It was, you know, people just thought they didn't understand it. And I think a lot of people, both men and women and guidance counselors and teachers as well as friends, they're like, why would you want to do that? My guidance counselor actually said to me, why on earth would you want to take auto shop? You can go to college. And I thought that was a really
stupid,
like, fascinating statement. Like, he was implying that that working on cars is a less than sort of thing. And I definitely didn't agree with that. So I took all of that as a challenge. It made me want to do it more.
That's great.
The more somebody tells me I can't do something, the more I want to do it.
Talking to Bogie Latiner right now, the host of All Girls Garage. It wasn't always All Girls Garage. You had your first shop called 180 Degrees Automotive, and you started it back, let's say about 14 years ago, in your driveway.
I did. I was working at a BMW dealership and was working as a master technician for them. And I decided that I had a crazy idea that was all about, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and at ease and was accessible for both men and women. And I, with very little preparation, quit my job, told all of my friends that I was going to start my business in my driveway, and to bring me their broken cars. And that's how 180 Degrees was born. And it grew from my driveway to a 8-bay garage with, at the height, I think we had 9 employees. It was a great business. It was a great shop. It was a lot of fun.
Now, you have the Girl Gang Garage. What is that?
Girl Gang Garage, great question. That is my new shop. It's about 3 years old now. And we don't do typical auto repair. We're not like a shop that you can bring your car to when it's broken. This is a training shop, and we do work classes for women to introduce women into the automotive trades, working with their hands. So welding, metalwork, fabrication, paint work, mechanical work, all of the above. So we have classes and workshops, and we do hands-on opportunities and all female restorations, and it's all about celebrating and women in the trades and encouraging more women into the trades.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, and I'm asking this to you very respectfully, are there some men out there that are apprehensive to take their car, in a lot of cases, you know, it's their baby, to a woman? Now,
yeah,
that's a terrible, terrible label to put on, but there's got to be some guys out there that haven't gotten it yet.
There are. I was mostly insulated from it at my shop at 180 Degrees Automotive because people weren't coming into the shop if they weren't okay with women working on their car. When I was at the dealership, I definitely experienced it to some degree. You know, folks were like, oh, she's working on my car? I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a minority. I think there's not that many folks who share that mindset at this point. But it definitely exists. And I think it's important, that team that you're working with who has your back, and, you know, to really support you.
Now, do you go into major work? I mean, do you rebuild engines, rebuild transmissions? This isn't an oil change. I mean, you go into major restoration and major repair, right?
Yeah. I've done just about everything from replacing your cup holder, rebuilding your engine, to doing a complete frame-off restoration of a vehicle. I'm not necessarily, like, my strength is mechanical, mm-hmm. but I can do just about anything. And I think anybody can do just about anything.
Now, as we mentioned before, the show is back on for its 9th season, and it's on Motor Trend TV Network. And that's Saturday mornings, 11:30 a.m., right, Eastern Time?
It is, yep, on Motor Trend and also on the Motor Trend app. So even if you don't want to watch it on typical TV, you can download the app, and it's super inexpensive to get a membership to it, and you can watch it. You can binge watch all 9 seasons whenever you want.
Where are you located? Where is the garage?
So All Girls Garage, we actually film in Florida.
Oh.
My shop is in Phoenix, Arizona.
Where in Florida?
just outside of Tampa, in a very nondescript industrial building.
I'm in Orlando. We originate this show from Orlando,
okay.
Florida. And I've got 4 cars. You work on foreign cars?
So the show is a little bit of a different setup. We're not generally open to the public. We do have a way to write in. So on my social media, there's a link in my bio to how to submit your vehicle. But we're generally not. So All Girls Garage is a TV show more than it is a full-time service shop.
But you would come to my house and repair that.
For the right price, you never know.
Okay. Because I've got some work for you. I've got classic cars that I think you could get your hands on, and I'd love to have you do that.
Talk afterwards.
Yeah, we will definitely have to talk afterwards. Well, Bogey, congratulations on the 9th season. And, of course, as we mentioned, it's on Motor Trend TV Network. You can also catch all the episodes by going where, Bogey, again?
To the Motor Trend app. You can get the link to that also in my bio on my social media. Bogey's Garage is where you can find me on Instagram and on Facebook.
Bogey Latiner has been with us. Hey, Bogey, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be watching on Saturday mornings, and please come back and join us again. Let's talk cars, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
What a terrific talent she is. And there's more to come live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgie today.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden approved a federal disaster declaration for Texas, getting some much-needed help to the state as it recovers from one of the worst winter storms to hit the Lone Star State in years. According to a statement from the White House, the declaration will provide assistance to individuals who sustained losses due to disasters and offer help in repairing public facilities and infrastructure. Texas Governor Greg Abbott thanked the president for the declaration, calling it a first step. In a release, the governor said the president's order only provides assistance for 77 of the state's 254 counties. And an engine failure aboard a 777 aircraft taking off from Denver International Airport Saturday sent large chunks of debris raining down on parts of northwest Denver. A United Airlines flight bound for Honolulu reported engine trouble and returned to Denver shortly after takeoff, scattering debris over several neighborhoods in the process. The plane landed safely, and no injuries have been reported on the ground. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
World, it is Ron Segi today. Well, if anyone's listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm a presidential buff when it comes to history of presidents throughout our entire democracy. Our next guest is a very interesting gentleman. He is an award-winning writer, speaker, and author of numerous books of popular history. Some include The Dawn of Christianity, When in Rome, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Bible. His latest effort is out right now. It's called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Comedians always, when they joke about the Lincoln assassination and they don't get a laugh from the audience, the immediate response from the comedian is, maybe it's too early. Well, apparently it's never too late to talk about this. Joining us right now is Robert Hutchinson. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
What really happened, the Lincoln assassination? This is a question that I thought, with all of my studies, we had expired everything. But in this book, you really reveal some things that maybe were supposedly common knowledge that really wasn't. So from your perspective, how did you investigate this, and what did you find different?
Well, let me just give you a little background on it. We pitched a series to Regnery called What Really Happened, and the whole idea was to do a series of books that told people in kind of a journalistic, exciting way what really happened behind some of the key events in history, and that cut through all of the speculations and the controversies and the scholarly controversies and so on, and just told the story based on the facts that we actually know. And the problem with a lot of the assassination books, especially the assassination of Kennedy, but also of Lincoln, is, first of all, they're 800-page books. There's a lot of scholarly debates, you know, whether this happened or that happened. And usually there's a really strong point of view, meaning one, the author wants to stake out a position that's a little contrarian. For example, a lot of the writers will say, you know, the Confederacy was involved in the assassination, even though the evidence isn't strong enough to actually make that statement. So I wanted to put those sort of hypotheses and speculations aside and just stick with what we actually know, go back to the original sources, go back to the eyewitness testimony of the people that were actually there, and retell the story in as exciting a way as I can, as if you were there, or just reading it right after the events, and tell people what actually happened. And that's kind of the origin of this. And I was attracted to the Lincoln assassination precisely because it seemed to resonate so much with our own time. I mean, Republicans and Democrats were fighting back then. They've been fighting ever since. The country was divided into literally red states and blue states. You know, there was a plague. Abraham Lincoln's beloved son, Willie, died of typhoid fever right after he moved into the White House. So much of the story resonates with our own time, you know, the political polarization of today. Lincoln was despised by half the country. The things the newspaper said about Lincoln seem like what they say about Trump is no big deal. So for all those reasons, I decided that the first book in the What Really Happened series would be the Lincoln assassination.
You know, it's amazing when you talk about the people that disliked him. You know, we talk about the fake news media today with the Trump administration, but, you know, he would put people in jail, journalists that weren't on his side. So he was a pretty tough cookie. But, you know, when we talk about assassinations of presidents, you know, you're right. We do concentrate on Kennedy and Lincoln. Some people may not even know there were two other presidents that were assassinated, and nothing's ever written about them.
Yes, that's true. That's they get short shrift, but I believe that Robert Lincoln, the president's son, was president at least one of the assassination attempts.
Right. Okay, so let's go down some of these myths. All right, let's take, for example, did the Confederacy have a hand in the assassination plot, which was a conspiracy theory? When I think about this, it so correlates with the Kennedy assassination. So what's the truth on that, Richard?
Well, you know, there's evidence in both directions, and that's what's so intriguing about this. Booth was certainly aided by some Confederate couriers and sympathizers like John Surratt Jr. and Thomas Harbin and so on. He did meet with Confederate agents when he had a trip to Montreal, and he was introduced to Confederate agents in Maryland. But on the other hand, most of the time it seemed that Booth had no idea what he was doing. His various attempts to kidnap Lincoln, because that was what a lot of people don't realize, is that Booth's original plan had been to kidnap President Lincoln, whisk him off to Richmond, to the capital of the Confederacy, and then use him as a hostage to negotiate for the release of badly needed Confederate troops so that the Confederacy could continue to fight. But his attempts to actually pull off this kidnapping were so bungled and so amateurish that I would say the majority of historians who've really investigated this have decided that the Confederacy may have known about it, but they didn't have an active hand in actually plotting and trying to to carry it off. So that's sort of my point of view, because basically Booth was inept. He frequently didn't even know where Lincoln was going to be. He would set up a kidnapping. He'd get his entire gang together. They were going to kidnap him on such and such day, and Lincoln didn't even show up the place where he was supposed to be. And that happened repeatedly. So he was not a field agent. He had no military training whatsoever. He had never seen a day in combat at all, even though he'd served 2 weeks with the Richmond Grays during the execution of John Brown. So I do not believe that the Confederate government was actively involved in the plot.
It's amazing you say that, because that is one of the theories that, again, reflects the research of the Kennedy assassination. Now, let's go back to the part where today a president can't walk in his own hallways without having 42 police officers and Secret Service around. The question becomes, why it's easy for Booth to enter the president's box at Ford Theater. Now, my belief has always been twofold. First of all, he got in because he was very well known and everybody knew who he was, and certainly the last thing on the minds of the ownership of the Ford Theater was, this guy's going to assassinate the president. Secondly, his guard was actually, from what I understand, not guarding the booth. He actually went to a bar next door to have some drinks, so it left John Wilkes Booth complete access to the booth that he entered and shot the president in.
Yeah, that's correct, although not entirely. There was a guard there. The guy who was supposed to be on duty was John Parker.
Right.
He was a notorious drunk. He was last seen next door, but technically he wasn't supposed to be sitting outside the hallway. That wasn't his post. Lincoln likely told him he can go watch the play somewhere else. But there was a man there who was guarding the door, so to speak. He wasn't a guard. He wasn't a policeman. He was Charles Forbes, who was Lincoln's personal assistant, I guess you'd say, kind of babysitter and all-around helper. And Booth came up to him, and he said, you know, what do you want? And Booth reached into his pocket, and he produced a calling card. We think it was a calling card of a senator, and then said, I need to speak to the president. And Forbes said, okay, let him in. In his defense, two other people had been there in the previous hour, messengers and so on. One was a journalist, and both had been allowed in without incident. So it wasn't unusual for people to do this, but somebody should have stopped Booth. There's no question. And it was a different era. President Lincoln used to ride his horse and his carriage around unguarded around Washington sometimes at late at night. The previous year, he'd had his famous hat shot off his head by a attempted assassin, and from that point on, he had a military escort wherever he went in an official capacity. Except when he went to the theater, he insisted on just having a police bodyguard, one guy, and that guy was not at his post, I guess you could say.
He also say, did he have premonitions of his own death? Didn't he dream of seeing himself in the East Room laid out?
Yeah, that was the fun part of this book, is going back and looking at the kind of the urban legends and the myths that have developed over the years. That story is in almost every single book
right. On
the assassination, and it's almost certainly not true. It was only one person who wrote 40 years after the events. He claimed that Lincoln had told him about this dream, that Lincoln supposedly had woken up in the middle of the night and thought he had gone downstairs and seen himself lying in state in a casket, and that's when he knew he was going to be killed. His wife never reported that story. His secretaries, with whom he worked every single day, never reported that story. They talked about a lot of other dreams that Lincoln had. Lincoln had lots of dreams, and he believed in paying attention to his dreams. His cabinet members had heard his dreams. No one else ever heard about that, except 40 years after the assassination, one guy, Marshall, a U.S. Marshall, claimed that Lincoln had told him this story decades earlier. So most people don't think that actually happened. And that's part of the thing about the assassination, is the story kind of grows in the telling. And it was fun when you do a book like this, is to go back to the original sources, go back to the original eyewitness accounts and read what they say, usually far more interesting.
We're going to pause for a second. Our guest is Robert Hutchinson. His new book is out right now, What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's fascinating to go back. And coming up this April 14th marks the anniversary of the assassination. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Nationwide and around the world, it's Ron Sedgy today. Our guest has been nice enough to stay with us for another segment. Robert Hutchinson is his name. He has a book out right now called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Abraham Lincoln's final day on earth was one of his happiest days. He had a lot of plans for the future. He took a buggy ride with his wife Mary Todd Lincoln and was all excited about the future, about the reconstruction of the country, and also plans after he got out of the office to go to Europe, which he had never done before. True?
Yes, absolutely true. Actually, he was planning to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem. One of the little-known facts about Lincoln was he wasn't what you'd call a conventional Christian, but he was a daily Bible reader, and he believed in God, and he wanted to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem. And he also wanted to go to California. He thought that sounded fun. They could maybe stay out there for a while. It is absolutely true that Abraham Lincoln died a happy man. It was probably the happiest day of his life since the war began. Surrender of Lee's army had only occurred a week earlier. His son had just come back that day, his son Robert, and reported his eyewitness report of seeing the surrender. Everyone knew the war was over, effectively over. All of Washington, D.C. was celebrating. They had special, they called it the Grand Illumination. They were lighting up all the buildings at night. People were flooding into D.C., and even though it was the somber Holy Week, the end of Lent and so on, a drunken party, basically. The whole place was in a raucous mood. And everybody who met Lincoln commented on how he looked so much better. He combed his hair. He was standing up straight and smiling and so on. And he had a great time at the theater. And so he had accomplished what he had set out to do, which was to save the Union. That was his life's purpose. And he had seen it through. And he was dreaming of the future. And it was a tragedy what happened. But at least you could say that Lincoln died a happy man, having achieved what he set out to do.
How did John Wilkes Booth evade this manhunt? He did go across the bridge after the city was shut down. I don't know how he got through it. But then, you know, he was on the run for 2 weeks before he was caught. And who gave the order to shoot him, and what happened to his body?
Yeah, all very, very interesting. Actually, that's one of the most fascinating parts of the story. He knew where he was going because he had been trying to do this kidnapping plot. So he did know his basic route. He had broken his leg from the fall when he leaped onto the stage. And he got his leg fixed by Dr. Mudd and all that. And then he was planning on just trying to go for it and just try and beat the posses out of the area. But he met a very smart Confederate smuggler by the name of Thomas Jones. And we didn't find out how this happened until 20 years after the assassination. Nobody knew how he did it because he literally seemed to vanish into thin air. The Union troops, they were searching every farmhouse, every barn, every road. They didn't care about civil liberties or anything like that. They were kicking down doorways. He would have been caught instantly. But this guy said, look, your only chance is to lie down and hide in place in this pine thicket, lie on the cold, wet ground, do not start a fire, I will bring you food and newspapers, because Booth wanted to read his reviews, and just lie low until they give up and move on. And that's exactly what happened. This guy brought food every single day, and Booth just lay on the ground miserable in the cold, wet for 5 days and five nights, and eventually the Union troops heard a report that he had been seen in Virginia, and they all left. And that was when he was able to get in a rowboat, which Thomas Jones provided him, and it took him 2 days to do it, but he managed to cross the Potomac, which is a gigantic river, if people don't know that. Very difficult thing to do, but he finally got over to Virginia. The only reason he was caught was there was a false report that he had been sighted at a certain place in Virginia, and detectives heard about this in Washington, D.C., and just by coincidence, they set out with a posse to go to on this false report, but it just by accident happened to be where he actually was, and that's how they caught him.
He actually thought he was going to be a hero for this. He was shocked that the country was very up in arms after what he did. What about the accomplices? He did have accomplices. I mean, this was a company designed to take out Seward and to take out the vice president. So there was other people involved. They just were unsuccessful in their job that they were given.
There were. He actually had a much bigger group. I mean, it could have been between 24 up to 50 people were involved in the actual kidnapping plot. But as soon as they got wind or began to suspect that Booth was changing his plans and might be thinking about shooting Lincoln instead of kidnapping him, all those people dropped out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a very contentious meeting at a restaurant, and when he even hinted that he might do something more extreme, they said they don't want any part of it. They had lives, they had futures, there's no way they were going to be involved in assassinating a U.S. president, and they just said, we're done, we're out of here. The only people he had left were three very desperate, impoverished men who he had promised large amounts of money. One of the reasons people thought the South might be involved was because Booth continually said there was going to be a huge payday at the end of this. He had three people left who helped him at the end, Lewis Powell and David Herold, and the only one who was a real killer was Lewis Powell, who did try to kill Seward. George Atzerodt, who was a German immigrant,
right,
he just went and got drunk. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And in the end, I must say, the federal government was fairly restrained. The only people they really executed were people who were directly involved right at the end, with the possible exception of Mary Surratt, who was also executed, and even though people asked that she not be. Only three people were really executed for this crime, except for Mary Surratt. She was also executed.
Anything that you found that you were extremely surprised to find?
The only new thing that I think that I contribute to this is that Booth had promised his mother he wouldn't get involved in the war because she was sure that he was going to get killed or something. And he was at a party in New Orleans, and he was shooting his mouth off, as he usually did, denouncing Lincoln and so on. And unbeknownst to him, there was a Union sergeant who was at this party. And the guy called him a coward to his face and said if he had these convictions, such strong convictions for the Confederacy, he should be wearing a gray uniform and have a rifle on his shoulder. And they almost got in a gunfight and almost killed each other. And the host of the party managed to break them up and everything. And that is what finally led Booth to plan the kidnapping plot. He decided he really had to do something. He couldn't just talk. I don't really see that written very much in this account. I think that's what ultimately led him to take some sort of action. It was the feeling of shame that he was just an actor talking big and hadn't done anything for the war effort at all. And he came up with this idea that he could maybe save the South by kidnapping Lincoln. And then at the end, he decided maybe by shooting Lincoln, he could save the South. He could buy enough time for the Confederacy to regroup and live to fight another day. Fortunately, that didn't happen. The end of the war occurred as planned. That was one new thing I didn't know.
Fascinating. It really is. I urge everybody to get this. If they want to know, and I always say this, in order to know what history is, you have to read it. That's the only way that you can understand what's happened in the past, how you handle the present and the future. And this book is really one that is a must-read. What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's available right now in hardcover. And our guest has been its author, Robert Hutchinson. Robert, thank you for joining us. You are welcome here anytime, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
What is fascinating that after 155 years, we still have this massive interest in the Lincoln assassination. And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Ah, it's the new year is on its way and you're making those resolutions. One of yours this year to eat better. And you know what? Salmon should be a part of that. And the best salmon is available delivered to you from our friends at OceanSalmon.com. Chilean farm raised, sustainably raised in the cold Chilean waters. You know, it's one thing to make a commitment to eat better. The next step in that is knowing where your salmon comes from. The very best salmon comes from Chile, and that is OceanSalmon.com. Go right now, OceanSalmon.com. Use promo code ROCKSTAR15. You will get an additional pound of salmon, 15% off, and free shipping. Ocean Salmon, OSHENSALMON, OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Free shipping, an additional pound, oh my goodness, and 15% off. OceanSalmon.com, OSHENSALMON.com. That's OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Hurry, supplies are limited.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Sedgy today. I want to thank my guests for joining us this first hour. My friend, talk show host Rusty Humphries, talking about the memory of Rush Limbaugh that we lost this past week. I also want to thank Bogey Latine from the Velocity Channel and the All Girls Garage, and author Robert Hutchinson, What Really Happened, the story of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Still, you know, in the forefront of history. Next hour, Adam Richman will be joining us. He is the host of The Food That Built America on the History Channel. Also, I want to welcome Dietrich Bader from American Housewife, and movie producer Chris Johnson, and actress Angie Harmon. And that's next hour.